you're asking me to be the best in the world. Why, Eddie, why?
But I'm better than you.
My eyes are red out in the back smoking a joint with Van Damme.
You know it.
Yo, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's your boy Stevie Jobber.
And it's your boy Dangerous Duke.
And welcome back to the Dangerous Jobbers podcast, putting wrestling over one podcast at a time.
You know this.
And today we got a special episode. We are doing our own version of rap. Spotify gets to have theirs. We get to have ours. So today we're doing three categories. We're going to start with the best matches or our favorite matches because it's our Spotify wrapped, even though it's a podcast wrapped. It's our five matches of the year, our top five wrestlers of the year, and then we'll end it with the top three promotions. Just for us personally. If you disagree, leave yours. If you agree, leave yours. Interact in the comments and everything. We're going to get right into it, man. Duke, start us off, man. What is your top five or number five for top matches of the year for you personally?
So coming in at number five for me, for my favorite match of the year, we're going to go to the Impact camp on this one, because I feel like Impact low-key put on some pretty exciting matches this year. And one of the matches in particular that I'm going to showcase here is that of Will Ospreay versus Speedball Mike Bailey at Bound for Glory. That match was the best match of the night for Bound for Glory, and it was probably Impact's best match of the year. And I know what you're thinking. Am I really putting it above Alex Shelley when we had him on the pod? I'm sorry to say, but yes, I am. Not to say Shelley had a bad match, because he really didn't. His match was great. But the Speedball Mike Bailey match and the Will Ospreay pairing was something that you looked at on paper and you thought, okay, this could be good. It could be great, but it also could just be, you know, one of those run-of-the-mill matches. And it was far more than a run-of-the-mill match. If you watch that match in its entirety, it was beautiful from the technical aspect to the high flying to the striking. Just everything in that match was entertaining. It only got number five for me because there wasn't much story going into the match. It was just a match between Speedball and Ospreay, but entertaining nonetheless. So my number five, Will Ospreay and Speedball Mike Bailey.
I like it. It was definitely the most entertaining match on the card. It was the most entertaining match on the card for Bound for Glory. Because you were getting the two workhorses, one from Impact, one from New Japan, just going out there and having a workhorse spectacular. I definitely agree with that. My number five comes in kind of out of left field for some people, but it's going to be the match between Shinsuke Nakamura and Seth Rollins at Payback.
Was that the last man standing? Or was that the first match?
No, this was the first match, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe Payback was the first match. Yeah, because that was when they introduced the concept of Seth's back. Was the first time, and that was a Payback. So mine is going to be Nakamura Seth 1 at Payback for the World Heavyweight Championship. Because it's a sleeper for me because, you know, they had great Muda there. Nakamura had this brand new air about him. All his promos were done in Japanese now with the American subtitles or the English subtitles. And it felt like we were in home field advantage for Nakamura.
Mm-hmm.
The way that Nakamura kind of shifted Seth's story, he kind of put him in his world. He kind of made it feel like a very Japanese story. I remember the story of Tanahashi being his shoulder at one point. A very big arc in Japan is the wear and tear of champions and like long-term injuries, different things like that. So when Nakamura whispered in Seth's ear and the reaction Seth gave, kudos to Seth, the way they just kind of built the story and, you know, Muda was going into the Hall of Fame and it just felt like if there was any time, and it was one of those things Triple H gets me with all 2023, but it was one of those things where I was like, man, if it was any time for Nakamura to win and it makes sense to redeem himself from the first time he should have won the World Heavyweight Championship and it didn't go the right way, this would be the perfect story, the perfect way to protect Seth, but have Seth lose clean and have Nakamura be super over as a heel, hot as he's ever been. Now would be the time. And they went out there, and I was on the edge of my seat for just about all of the match. Nakamura looked so convincing. And for Seth to take it at the end, I remember a majority of the house was outside smoking, but the people that were in the house by the TV were at the edge of their seats, whether they've been very invested in the story or not, because the build was just great. The promo package was great. The match, the story they told in the match was great. And by the end of it, you really were kind of bummed they didn't give Nakamura the win, which, I mean, Triple H played it perfectly, and he's done that multiple times, as we'll get into other matches on my list. But that one stood out for me because Nakamura hadn't felt so big in a very long time. And it was, I live for the moments where for a split second or for 15 minutes at a time, I can just not be sure of what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I live for those moments as a wrestling fan. So that's my number five, Shinsuke and Seth the Payback.
I respect that. That's a very good number five. So my number four is, you know what, quite possibly this could be the best match on the list. But for me, it's number four because I was just so invested in the other three matches ahead of this one. But this match itself was just entertaining to watch and a pleasure to even see happen. And that's from Wrestle Dream. I'm going to go with, at my number four, Daniel Bryan versus Zack Sabre Jr. This match was, again, could have arguably been the best match of the year for that promotion at that time. Daniel went out there, told a phenomenal story with Zack Sabre Jr., something that's been a dream match for years for a lot of people. And they both tore the house down. Again, you got a little bit of everything in this match with, you know, top rope maneuvers, technical wrestling, submission wrestling, just good old fashioned.
Slobberknocker?
Not slobberknocker, but it's a word you use specifically to describe just two people just punching the hell out of each other when they wrestle. Just like a good old fashioned, I guess, slugfest, if you will.
Slugfest. Yeah, I can't think of what word I normally use.
Like, but it describes William Regal's style of wrestling.
Oh, just like strong style.
Strong style wrestling. There you go. Good.
Especially Zack Sabre Jr., that UK strong style.
Yep, the UK strong style. There you go. That strong style wrestling you got in this. It was just a great match all the way around. And could have been the match of the year for their promotion. So that's my number four right there. Going Daniel Bryan, Zack Sabre Jr. from WrestleDream.
I like it. I like it. I felt like one of us was going to say it, and I was hoping it was you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I ended up leaving a Danielson off of my top five list this year. But again, my matches are kind of based on emotions rather than how good the match was, even though they're all good matches, in my opinion. My number four, speaking of emotional connection, Carmelo Hayes versus Ilya Dragunov 2 at NXT No Mercy.
I'm glad you said that.
So Carmelo Hayes all year has been the guy. Ever since Braun lost the title to Hayes, it was kind of clear, almost embarrassingly, the gap between how good, how much better of a champion Hayes was than Braun as a character.
Yeah.
Hayes has been head and shoulders kind of above everyone. He's been the man, the face of that NXT men's division. And then Ilya Dragunov started to get his push. And true to Ilya Dragunov in the UK, he was an undeniable, unstoppable, just force of a human being. And it brought me to this interesting place, which NXT has done time and time again this year. Kudos to NXT for and Sean for just brilliant writing and character development and athletic matchups that make me want to keep tuning in. I've tuned in more to NXT than AEW this year, I'll be honest. But the aspect of seeing Dragunov, who was Sean's guy in the UK, against Hayes, who is his guy right now, and to see which way they were going to go with it, because on paper, the odds would much more favor Ilya Dragunov. But are they going to risk the height and the hype and the momentum of Carmelo Hayes to truly credit what Ilya Dragunov is as a character? A lot of times that's a tough decision to make, especially for booking who you think is going to be the more popular guy in the long run, which I can tell you, at least in the old days, would have looked like Carmelo Hayes.
Yes.
So to see the rematch being based off the story that Hayes only won last time because of Trick Williams. And it'd be like, okay, is that true? And how much Hayes was pushing to be like, he wasn't sure if everybody believed in him. He didn't feel like his best friend had his back, and he felt like the world was against him. And it was like, would they dig deep enough into that character to have the world think he's going to lose and he still lose? It's a lot weighing on this match. And then they go out there and have a banger of a match.
Yeah,
where the exact story that I described to you is described in the match. Hayes is extremely athletic, extremely talented, extremely popular, but Dragunov is this unstoppable force that will not stop coming back and hits like a madman. And at the end of the day, Ilya ends up taking the belt from Carmelo Hayes. And you're satisfied either way. But there's a special kind of proud feeling I had at the end of the match. It was like, okay, they made the really tough call. Because it's really tough to choose a Dragunov over a Carmelo Hayes as a face of NXT. This is not NXT UK. It's a different NXT. So to go with that choice is very, you know what I mean? That's a lot. That's a big risk. But a well-deserved one.
Yeah.
Because he's been proven to carry he's been proven to carry shows on his back. So now to put him in this spotlight where it's a younger demographic to see if he can do the same thing is, you got to applaud it.
Yeah. And they did phenomenal with both matches they had. Both. Mm-hmm. So my number three, again, now we're getting into the nitty gritty of me for ultimate bias. Like these top three are in the order that they're in very much for bias reasons, as they should be, because it's, you know,
my as they should be, but it's your list.
But it's ultimate bias, and you're going to understand why. Because coming in at number three, we're going to WWE and we're going to WrestleMania.
Mm.
And my number three, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens versus the Usos for the tag team titles. Storytelling was at a premium in this. Emotions were at an all-time high. You make history on top of that, being the first tag team match to main event a WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately complete your story of winning tag team titles with your best friend. Like that's just icing on the cake right there. And to top it all off, Sammy is the one to get the pin on Jay. Like, if there was ever an emotional match, that is your emotional match right there. The history these men have been through together, just beating the hell out of each other, being friends 1 minute, then beating the hell out of each other again. It was just a beautiful thing to see. I don't think there was a dry eye in the building watching that match. So it hits number three for me. Could be higher, but it's my number three. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens versus the Usos at night one of WrestleMania.
I mean, it was a first time ever.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Just for that alone. No doubt. No doubt. And they kind of ran that year. It kind of gave all the MVPs of 2022 their proper time to shine.
Mm-hmm.
My number three, I'll keep it tight because I kind of ran it on the last one, is just a nod to MJF and his work.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be MJF versus Adam Cole. At All In London.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's just a nod to the work that MJF has been able to do to be able to be a heel for so long and carry the company and relevancy on his back consistently for so long since he won the belt.
Yes.
To run out every idea as a bad guy, get every wrong turn you can take, or not wrong turn, but unfortunate turn you can as a face, and still be able to stay relevant and have one of the best storylines, if not the best storyline on the show every week, to build up to the biggest event AEW had all year.
Mm-hmm.
With the guy that is your friend and foe, while you're a face and a heel, because you can do it all. You know what I mean? And the ultimate moment of treading the line so perfectly that you can main event with your best friend as a heel or a face and finish the match, win fair, have a competitive match, and still be able to capture the emotion as a true face in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the levels MJF can perform at
such a young age?
It's incredible. So is this match, my number three, was just a nod to the brilliant culmination of all of MJF's work to stay relevant in AEW as AEW champion all year. It was just the cherry on top of, like, watch me do all of, it was everything, everywhere, all at once. done perfectly.
I agree. I very much agree. My number two, coming from the land of AEW. Again, biased because I love the dude that's in this match and I love his character and I love everything that he's been able to grow into and become. And I know he's only going to be better and better as the years go on.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked about this guy at length on the pod before, and I'm going to do it later when we do more pods. But my number two, Ricky Starks versus Daniel Bryan in the dog collar match.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one.
Like, and I didn't think it was going to make the top for me, but then thinking back, watching the promos, watching the segments leading up to the match, and then the match just itself, like, they beat the hell out of each other.
Mm-hmm.
They did. And then even before the match, just Danielson with that promo just cutting deep. The last time I was in a dog collar match, it was against someone I loved, and we beat the hell out of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine what I'm going to do to someone I hate.
Mm.
Just the ultimate tip of the cap to Bray Wyatt in the process, and coming off of a point in time where Bray had just passed, it was like, golly, like, way to tug at the heartstrings for us, man. And then to go out there and just give us the classic that you gave us.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the, I'll say that was one of the times AEW got the story right and told the story the right way. So that, and it's got to get high props for me. So my number two, man, Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson versus Ricky Starks dog collar match.
I like it. I like it. I'm glad you mentioned it, because there was so many good matches this year. Mm-hmm. There really was. And that was a big moment. Daniel had some good moments this year.
Mm-hmm.
My number two, another person that had a lot of good moments this year, as you referred to already on your list earlier. Let's take it all the way back to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Elimination Chamber. Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns. I mean, I talk about that feeling that I had with Nakamura and Seth about, if there was any moment, if the stars could align any more perfectly, this would be the time to pull the trigger on this person right now and this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Triple H, it was one of the first times this year Triple H broke my heart. But Sammy went out there and did everything he could. Everything he could. The story was so perfect. The build was so perfect. And they couldn't have built a better. I mean, they spent all year on it. You know, mm-hmm. They spent all year on this backstory of Sami Zayn to culminate to this moment. It was like, ugh, you know. And I mean, they took it to a level at Mania, but the Sami Roman match at Elimination Chamber was again one of those matches where for those 15, 20, 30 minutes, you truly, something in you might have been like, I don't know. I don't really all the way know what the end of this match is going to be. And I'm excited about that. You know what I mean? So number two, got to be Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns. The first time Triple H broke my heart this year.
Okay. Well, since you're going to talk about Triple H breaking your heart, I'm going to talk about Triple H just making me fall in love. And we're going to take it.
I wonder if that's going to be what I think it is.
I fell in love with this match, man. Just everything about it. Just it did my heart justice. It made me happy because, you know, it was from a place that resonated with me. I don't know what it was about this specific match that
I know which one is yours.
Okay, that it just resonated with me a little bit.
I'm glad you're saying it, though.
I would be remiss if I didn't bring it home, I mean, in a sense.
You kind of have to.
Yeah, so, I mean, my number one is from Backlash. And it's from one of my favorite wrestlers out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
Damian Priest versus Bad Bunny in the San Juan Street Fight. Like, I can't. There's not a bad thing to say about this match. It delivered in every aspect. Great match from Damian Priest. Hell of a match from Bad Bunny. Mm-hmm. Damian showed he knows what he's doing in that ring and can be a leading dance partner with anybody. Mm-hmm. You can lead with Bad Bunny. You can lead with anybody. And then, you know, just the LWO aspect, bringing out Savio, bringing out Carlito, just getting an entire island hype. Like, you put on so good of a match and had a crowd so hyped, you had people saying they could host a WrestleMania.
And I still believe that.
Puerto Rico could probably host a WrestleMania. It was just, I don't have a single bad thing to say about the match, the people involved in it, the writing to it. You went around the arena and fought. You went through tables and electrical shit, and you had the Puerto Rican kendo stick. Savio got his TNT going. Carlito did the backstabber. Just so many great things. And then not only that, so many great things came from that night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got Carlito to come back to WWE full time. We've been asking for it for like 3 years now. We finally got it because of this. This mm-hmm. was the leading cause of it. So, yeah, man, just so many great things came out of one night. And, yeah, so that's my number one. Bad Bunny and Damian Priest, Backlash, San Juan Street Fight.
I think if we were doing top pay-per-views, Backlash would be on both of our lists.
Backlash would probably be my number one pay-per-view.
It was it felt like WrestleMania. It did. It did. My number one is circling all the way back to your number five, I think. It's at Bound for Glory.
I know where you're going.
It is Impact Wrestling's main event. Alex Shelley versus Josh Alexander for the Impact World Championship. Because, again, I live for the moments where I can be on the edge of my seat. And Shelley versus Alexander meant so much to me because it was the full circle of his arc. And it was the question at the end of the day if it truly was Alex Shelley's house.
Mm-hmm.
When he won the belt, he cut the promo. You know, it's not AJ's house. It's not Josh's house. It's my house. I'm the heart and soul of Impact Wrestling. This is my home. These are my people. This is my company.
Mm-hmm.
And he would take that championship and all that time to, you know, repeatedly establish that he was everything that he said that he was, beating Tanahashi, beating Steve Maclin again, just the multiple defenses that led to Josh's return and to finally come face to face with the man that was Impact Wrestling before he took over. And nobody saw the turn coming of what would happen shortly after that. That would really bring it full circle for us. But just that there was so much writing on that match for the character of Alex Shelley. And I feel like the indies haven't had Well, not the indies. Impact isn't the indies. But I feel like under AEW and even within AEW, outside of WWE, I feel like there hasn't been a character that has had such a good arc as a character, genuinely, that runs so many parallels that feels larger than life. Like, he's the closest thing to the feeling we get from Jey Uso as we could possibly get outside of WWE. The momentum Alex Shelley carried with him all year to get to this moment was like, all right, it's make or break now. It's either you are the heart and soul of Impact Wrestling or you're not.
Yeah.
And this was just a wild 15 minutes. So to bring it home, and then it then make the announcement afterwards is the cherry on top. Alex Shelley was number one for me this year because he just proved that he is everything he says he is.
Agreed. Fully agree. So that's our matches. And I guess that takes us into
our top five wrestlers. Do you want to do the companies real quick as a segue and then finish with the top five wrestlers?
Yeah, let's do the companies.
Let's do the companies as a segue. That one we can knock out. I ain't talking too much about that one.
Companies,
it's kind of cut and dry for me.
All right, so you lead it off with the companies then, since I lead it off with the matches.
My number three company, you're lucky I'm saying this because I could go a different way. WOW had a pretty good year. but I'm going to go with AEW. Because they had All In Wembley. They had All Out. They had the Elite return. They had another Punk blowout. And like it or not, Punk did numbers.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the Ass Boys this year. Bang Bang Gang. Danielson was the best version of him ever. Eddie Kingston got his just due. I know that counts as ROH, but still. Just the fact that Eddie Kingston got his due for once. It's like, Orange. AEW. AEW's number three.
Okay. So my number three. And you're probably going to see a theme with this. My number three is Impact. I feel like Impact had a phenomenal year, a very underrated year as far as some of their matches goes and some of their, champions may make it seem. But you just had phenomenal talent across the board. You know, you had Alex Shelley finally conquering the mountain, like you just said. Speedball had an amazing year for them. PCO, for the love of God, I love that man. Keep him
in Impact. What is that man? Keep
him there forever. Let PCO just be PCO. In fact, that Monsters Ball match probably could have made my top five. Now that I think about it, there was just so many great aspects coming out of that camp. Even Jordan Grace did great for him this year. I really struggle to find a company that I could put above Impact. Well, no, not really. I struggle for a company to put at number three besides Impact, if that makes sense. So my number that three is Impact Wrestling.
That makes total sense. My number two, to piggyback right off of that, is Impact Wrestling. Only because I put it at number two, not number three, because AEW has had a lot of very big moments for them. They've cultivated a lot of great matches, which if you listen to QT Marshall and watch AEW television, is clearly what Tony's agenda is to find sometimes the quickest way to the best match of the night. and do the very best he can to make almost every match as close to the best match of the night as possible. Unless you're a female superstar. But Impact Wrestling this year has been just so consistent.
Yes.
It has been the number two in consistency. It has been number two in elevating all of the roster at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It has been number two at coming up with a way to respect all of the pillars and give spotlight to all of the new ones.
Yep.
And just find a way to fit everybody in at a high level. You look at MK Ultra with Masha and Killer Kelly, Steve Macklin, PCO, Moose, Bully Ray somehow still finding a way to be relevant all year. How is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, Jordan Grace, Deonna Purrazzo, Mickey James, who won't stop coming back.
I don't mind it, though.
I don't mind it. I mean, I don't mind it. It's just, you know, you did say it was like your last run, like three times.
It's okay. I don't mind it.
But I mean, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's not like you're Ric Flair. But yeah, just there's so many names. I mean, Crazy Steve is still finding a way to be relevant. Chris Sabin, Leah Rush, ABC, all the Rascals, and now they just got Trey Miguel. Not Trey Miguel, they just got the young GOAT, Myron Reed, added to the Rascals. So now it's Trey Miguel, Zach Wentz, and Myron Reed as the first time incarnation of the Rascals. Okay. They're firing on so many cylinders, and it's been consistent through the year. They don't really go down.
No.
They usually just reach a new level and stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Until they find a way to reach a new level and stay there. You know what I mean? It's only elevation, which is how they've been able to come all the way back to TNA Impact.
Mm-hmm.
So, number two for me, just because they've been as close to WWE's consistency as possible, it's got to be Impact.
Okay. And my number two, based off of what you just said, their consistency and everything else, I'm going New Japan.
That is the only other name you could put there.
I'm going New Japan because consistently for the last few years, mm-hmm. they have been the closest thing to WWE. Except for that, maybe that 1 or 2 year stretch, AEW was, you know, hot on their heels. But, you know, they've taken a back burner a little bit for me. And New Japan has constantly been putting out consistent matches, whether they're 5-star, 6-star matches.
Mm-hmm.
And their talent this year has been going into other companies, putting on these 5-star matches, putting on these 6-star matches, elevating these other companies. Mm-hmm. Your Zack Sabre Jr.'s, your Will Ospreys, your Jay White's, your Hiroshi Tanahashi's, Okada even, like all these namestays that have been in Japan for so long, venturing over and coming into these other companies, putting on bangers so the American eyes can see what they've been doing
mm-hmm.
and have been succeeding at it. So I feel like just pretty simple, cut, plain and dry, New Japan was number two this year for many of reasons, and they've proved it.
All right, man. That takes us to number one. Do we both agree? I feel like we both have a pretty clear stance on who won this year.
NWA did really well.
Yeah, NWA did really well, but I was gonna say that maybe it's head and shoulders above that. I mean, you mentioned it off air. GCW has just had the most unbelievable year. I mean,
yeah, GCW, dude.
If it's not GCW at number one, I really don't know who is. I mean, the things Blake Christian and the, you know, the
way okay, they've just been elevated you, with the light tubes. How long are you going to go on with this?
Oh, okay. All right. I'll end a bit.
Yeah. So number one, WWE, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's. I mean, listen to Triple H do a press conference.
Or actually,
at least
you know
once
what?
This year. You know what I mean?
I don't think we can say that anymore.
What, Triple H press conferences?
No, WWE. I think we have to say Endeavor.
Oh, Endeavor. Oh, Jesus. They change WWE, what's World Wrestling Endeavor now, right?
Yeah, World Wrestling in Denver.
World Wrestling Endeavor. WWE's got to be number one. They just win all the time. They've done nothing but win since Roman Reigns is the most winningest, and the Usos were the most winningest, and then the Judgment Day won all year, and then they just kept going more and more places. You know, they've gone everywhere. They've gone to Puerto Rico, France, Canada. They're gonna go to Germany. I mean, they keep going to Saudi Arabia, but we ain't gonna talk about that.
We ain't gonna talk about it.
They just win. They just win all the time. I mean, they just look at Gunther, win. Look at Logan Paul, win. You know what I'm saying? I mean, even the wins that you don't want, they've won consistently.
I feel like if you're gonna go there and throw Logan Paul in the group of winners, I think we might as well just get this top five wrestlers and see what the deal is.
Yeah, let's finish this thing off, man. Right. We got to do our top five wrestlers of the year.
All right. So I'll kick this one off for us. Number five for me, my top five favorite wrestlers of the year. Not many people from this promotion, but, you know, I'm going to give one guy his flowers because he just didn't miss all year. And everything he did was to a T, had meaning, on point, made you think, made you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Kingston, number five.
Wow. He's on your list and not mine this year. That's crazy.
Eddie Kingston, man. Eddie Kingston did phenomenal for me, dude. I loved his character this year. I love his work, his heart, his passion. Eddie made number five for me.
I love that. I love Eddie at number five. My number five, also from AEW. CM Punk. No.
Pepsi Phil.
Arguable. No, it's gonna be Christian. Believe it or not, just another tip of the hat, because Christian in 2023, who's doing TLCs and making himself a tag team star in 2000. Christian in 2023 has had the comeback of his life. I don't understand how he continues to
I wouldn't
be
even
so
call
relevant.
It a comeback. I would call it a revitalization.
And you shouldn't call it a comeback. I mean, when the man came back, he won the TNA World Heavyweight Championship, because it wasn't the Impact one, it was the TNA.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's found a way to become even more relevant as a heel. Hated. Probably the number two biggest heel in the business today is Christian Cage. So big that I feel like it elevated Edge's status when he got to AEW, because Christian was so big already. And Christian was in the indies and was the only half to be in the indies for this long.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Cage in 2023, able to elevate the TNT Championship, able to elevate Darby Allin, able to elevate Luchasaurus, able to elevate Nick Wayne.
That old Captain Charisma rub.
That Captain Charisma rub is real. Jack Perry got better after Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what's going on now, because you know what I'm saying, but but for that little minute after that, he was very hot. After that Christian Cage rub, it is real. Christian has proven to be very much worth it and very much one of the best on the mic in 2023. My number five, Christian Cage. Who's your daddy?
My number four. Since you just so eerily pointed out that your number five was Christian Cage, who's your daddy? My number four, who's your mommy? Rhea Ripley is my number four.
Oh my goodness. I didn't put a woman on my list this year.
I didn't. You know what? I wasn't going to.
It would be Rhea Ripley, though. It would be. It couldn't be anybody else.
You tell me Rhea hasn't been knocking it out of the park this year.
She turned into China, bro. She turned into.
I mean, arguably, she might have turned into something a little bit more. It's still early, but you never know.
And she could be. She has the potential to turn it into more.
Yeah, but Rhea has just
Jordan Grace eat your heart out. Exactly. Or sign with WWE. That's a dream match.
I think I'd still pick Rhea. But anyway, Rhea just knocked it out the park this year, leading, going from a group with no leader to being the unofficial leader of her group, just the face of Judgment Day. Promos killing it, in ring killing it, gear killing it, the women's pet and the men's regret, you know, that all that kind of stuff. Just Rhea been killing it this year. That's really all I got to say. So my number four is mommy, because she's always on top. Rhea Ripley.
She is always on top. Mommy's always on top. My number four this year. Bray Wyatt. We were there when he came back. We were in the building in Philly when he made his comeback. To see them put together the new entrance, see the live puppets in the crowd for the first time. See how awesome the new music and the new entrance was. We didn't get a lot of them, but his last run felt really close. You just felt really close.
Mm-hmm.
And losing him was a moment in the year that is just too big not to spotlight.
Fully agree with that. And you know what? It's funny you say Bray Wyatt, because the next person I'm gonna say was higher on my list, but just because you said Bray was your four, I'm gonna make this guy my three. Because it was the last person he was in the ring with. So my number three was going to be higher, but he's going at number three now out of respect. LA Knight, because the feud with Bray, like you just said, made a big difference for LA Knight in a sense. Like I can honestly say that is probably one of the first times we could see LA Knight stand on his own, especially with a character the height of Bray Wyatt. And the ability of Bray Wyatt. And LA Knight just kind of knocked it out the park all this year. Again, promos always on point. Standing with people like Bray Wyatt and The Miz. Even going toe-to-toe with Bloodline stuff. Standing on business. Stomping people out in the Thames. An entertaining character just all year. And potentially could do more come 2024, and I'm very excited for it. So yeah, my number three, LA Knight. Yeah.
It's very interesting to know that that was probably one of the only times Bray got a really good Taker kind of run. He didn't really have, he didn't really come back to do a lot, but he had a solid story start to finish as a bizarre Bray Wyatt story. Where he goes over in the at the end with some very creepy, very sci-fi, very Bray Wyatt, in very Bray Wyatt fashion to get a good clean win. And LA Knight ends up getting essentially what is now or would have been the Taker rub from the man that Taker gave the keys to in Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, and they had a great match too. The only bad, it wasn't even a bad thing. The only downside to their match was the miss at the end when Uncle Howdy did the jump off the thing. That was really the only like slip up of the entire match.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them for that. That's a 25-foot drop. Ain't nobody gonna hit that directly on the button every single
time. Yeah, you'd have to be Shane McMahon, and even he's missed before.
Yeah.
So yeah.
All right. So where you at for your number three?
My number three is again, I'm going to switch it out because I already gave MJF his flowers, but it was going to be you, MJF. I'm going to switch you out, though, just so I can get all the people I want to tip my hat to. My number three is going to be Orange Cassidy.
Okay.
My number three is Orange Cassidy because I feel like he's been the silent six man in AEW. You know, without saying too much, Orange Cassidy did a lot for the International Championship. He did a lot for the International Championship. He had a lot of great matches under his belt, and he really got his name up all the way up until the end of that title reign. And it's probably a lot more under the radar than people should give it credit for. Cassidy did a whole lot for that belt at a time when nothing really mattered. Orange Cassidy kind of ruled in the mid-card division with anybody you gave him. So that's my number three.
Okay. My number two is, see, I don't want to give people that, you know, everybody's going to really expect us to give flowers to. So, you know what? My number two for my favorite wrestler of the year, I'm going to go Damian Priest. I mean, I feel like a lot of people would expect me to put Priest in my top five, and maybe so, but because my number one's going to be a little bit different. But Priest, again, Judgment Day, standing on Judgment Day business, best faction of the year. And the dude had probably the best year out of anybody in the Judgment Day. You know, Dom, sure, you won two North American titles. Rhea, you know, you became the Women's World Heavyweight Champion. But when you look at Priest, you know, two-time tag team champion, undisputed tag team champion, you won Money in the Bank this year. You main evented Backlash with Bad Bunny. You main evented War Games. You had yourself a hell of a year, dude. And then you've also planted seeds for so many great feuds later down the line. You know, very entertaining year for Damian Priest, to say the least. And again, bias, but it's been a very long time since I've seen a Puerto Rican do amazing in WWE. So, or just wrestling in general. So for me, Priest is very, very close to that tip top of the list. So My number two, Damian Priest.
Yeah, I'm glad you said it. That he definitely needs that spotlight. Priest has had a hell of a year. My number two, this one's easy because I can keep it short because I already went on my Alex Shelley rant. Is Alex Shelley?
Mm-hmm.
He just put on all year. He put on all year. Another guy, you just look at the body of work. You look at his reign as world champion and everything it's meant. He spent the entire year proving why this is his company and why he's one of the best wrestlers on the planet, if not the best.
Like he mentioned on the podcast. Accomplish what he wanted to accomplish.
Yeah. Accomplish everything you wanted to accomplish.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what greater art can you ask for? I said everything I wanted to do, and I spent a year doing it.
Yeah, and he made it. He set out to do. So my number one, my favorite wrestler of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could go any number of ways with this. I could go Seth. I could go Jay. I could go Sammy. I can go Cody. You know what? When I sat down and I really thought about it, this guy for me was actually surprisingly entertaining. And when I say his name, it's going to confuse a lot of people because they're going to see entertaining and him and not put them in the same sentence. But us as wrestling fans, what is one thing that we want out of a champion? Someone who's there and someone who strives for consistency.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, my number one, my favorite wrestler of the year, Gunther. Gunther has been the fucking man this year, and not enough people have been talking about it.
That's true. Yeah. That's a great answer.
The matches this guy has had all year, not even just on pay-per-views, but on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
You give him, like, WrestleMania, okay, you had McIntyre and you had Sheamus. You put on a great match. And then, not only that, you had Miz just very recently put on a great match. You had Chad Gable put on a great match with Chad Gable. You had Bronson Reed put on a fucking great match with another big man. Like, this dude has been putting on matches left and right, just phenomenal matches on Raw, on pay-per-view. I think he was in the top five for most matches this year. Gunther has been killing it as far as everything goes. He's checked every box. Storytelling, backstage segments, promos, and then not only that, records. And then not only that, we have a champion who's actually there all year round. Not these, you know, half want to be champions like Logan Paul, not these part-time champions like Roman Reigns. Granted, do they have other lives outside of wrestling? Yes. But what are we all at the end of the day? Wrestling fans. We appreciate a champion that's there constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And Gunther has been there constantly, putting on banger after banger after banger constantly. So in 2023, for a style of wrestling that is not my style of wrestling, not my cup of tea, but this man has been fucking great all year. Mm-hmm. I got to give him his flowers. He's been my dog all year. My number one, I'm rocking with Gunther and I'm rocking with Imperium.
I dig that. Man, I'm almost mad. It almost proves your point that I didn't think of him. Yeah, Gunther's been putting on all year consistently. He's the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. Isn't it so wonderful that we are living in a time in wrestling where we are amongst two of the greatest championship reigns ever?
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the Usos, who were the longest reigning tag team champions last year. We were living in that reign as well into this year. Great choice. My number one this year, I was tied. You could go with Jey Uso. You could go with Roman Reigns. You could go with Seth Rollins. I went with Dominic Mysterio.
Mm-hmm.
Dominic Mysterio is my number one this year because of consistency. He's my number one this year because of the work ethic. He's my number one this year because of being in the faction that won all year. Mm-hmm. But more than anything, he's my number one because he's found a way to just keep improving, keep getting better, and keep finding new innovative ways to make it work.
Yeah.
And the spark of brilliance they had to give him the North American Championship was the cherry on top of his character.
Mm-hmm.
When I watched him win that belt from Wesley, who at that point was the best North American champion in history on paper. And shout out to the Rascal. Wesley is doing amazing things. I always root for Wesley. Dominic took the belt, and I remember watching it and going, they found a way to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember the promos. I was like, all right, well, how are they going to do the promos down there? And finding out how Dom could talk down there without being booed out of the building. So now Dom can prove that he can talk and he can wrestle and he can develop while at the highest level at the same time on two other shows. And again, I went, they found a way to do it again. They found a way to make it work. He's found a way to get better and make it work on all aspects, all over the board, while getting more reps in than most anybody. Number two of the year. Dom is earned the greatest heel of the year. Yeah. With MJF gracefully bowing out. And Christian being probably the only other competitor, Dominic is clearly the best heel of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Bar none. And it's to be so young and achieve so much consistently for reactions based off that alone.
I agree. Dom was very phenomenal this year. He would have made my list, but you know, I just didn't want to have too much of the same as you.
Yeah.
But all in all, man, I think we've had some pretty solid picks this year.
Mm-hmm.
Very solid.
We did a good job diversifying and being kind of all over the board this year.
Yeah. See, it shows we can be fair, no matter what y'all say.
Right. In the face of adversity.
But with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, that is the Wrestling Spotify Wrapped 2023 segment of the Dangerous Jobbers podcast. Guys, if you haven't linked up with us, y'all know where to find us, be it Spotify, cheap plug, Apple Music, Google Pods, dangerousjobberswebsite.com. You can check us out on our Facebooks, our Instagrams, our X, formerly known as Twitter, TikTok as well. Make sure you guys stay up to date on everything myself and Stevie Jobber put out. And that's it for this week, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure you guys stay up. Make sure you guys stay blessed. And as always, stay dangerous.
Stay dangerous.
People have been asking me to be the best in the world. Why, Eddie, why?